We are talking today with Lieutenant Aaron Watada and Jeff Patterson. Lieutenant Aaron Watada is with the U.S. Army and has recently publicly refused to serve in Iraq. And Jeff Patterson, who was with the Marine Corps and in 1991 publicly refused to serve in the war then in Iraq. Jeff and Aaron, thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Let's start with you, Aaron. You are getting a lot of public attention for your refusal to deploy to Iraq, and maybe we can get some history here. What was it initially that motivated you to join the military?
Well, first off, I think before the invasion, I had wanted to join the military after I graduated from college. And I signed the papers joining the military in March of 2003, and as most people can recall, that's around the time the actual invasion kicked off. And prior to that, I think I was watching TV like many Americans out there were, and when the administration came on TV and practically guaranteed that they knew Saddam had stockpiles of WMD and they knew the exact locations and exactly what was going on, I believed that. And I also believed when the administration told us that Saddam had strong ties to Al-Qaeda and strong ties to 9/11, so you know, therefore he was culpable in the terrorist attacks against us. And at the time, I was not fully, you know, I didn't feel the invasion was fully justified, but I felt there was enough justification, and I had no reason to believe that our administration would betray our trust of the military and the American people. So I didn't change my mind in wanting to join the military, and I still felt one of the strongest reasons for joining was, I believe, patriotic duty and a willingness to serve others, to serve my country and to serve the soldiers under me as an officer. So I enlisted in basic training in June of 2003, and then I became commissioned as an active duty officer in the Army in December of 2003. I served a year over in Korea, and then I came back in June of 2005, and where I'm stationed currently at Fort Lewis, Washington. When I got back to the States, I was notified that I would be deploying within a year. And even over in Korea, you know, we trained mostly for a North Korean invasion of South Korea, and that was our primary mission. But we also trained on the side. We knew there was a war going on in Iraq and that we needed to train the soldiers and get them ready for possibly to be deployed there at any time. So we trained, you know, for different urban operations and peacekeeping operations. When I came back to the States, you know, basically it was to train for the same thing. And I really didn't think much of the order. I still had my doubts, but I was ready to go, and I wasn't really aware of all the things that were occurring in Iraq because I had been gone for a year in another country. And but when I got the order to deploy, I felt it was my responsibility, as I was told by my former officer, to really be aware and to find out everything you can about what you're going to undertake, including, you know, how war in general affects soldiers, how it affects people, the civilians who are affected by battle, and also the specifics of why we were going into this particular war and what was occurring at that present time. And so I began to read, you know, everything I could get my hands on, articles by constitutional and international law experts, accounts of Iraqi civilians and soldiers that were coming back, of what was going on over there at the current time, and also reports that were in the mainstream media coming out from government agencies and non-governmental agencies on what was occurring over there. And after reading about all that and finding out all I could, I've been convinced that what we're doing over there is not only morally wrong, but it's unlawful under international and American law. And therefore, I felt, even though I came to this realization, I was still in a certain amount of turmoil on the inside. And, you know, when you join the Army, anybody joins the military, you know, you don't really have an opinion. You just do what you're told. And so one hand, I had that assumption or that presumption that this is what I do and it doesn't matter what I think about what's right or wrong. But on the other hand, I knew what was going on. I knew what was the truth. And the truth was that what we're doing over in Iraq was really, really wrong, and it was against my moral principles and possibly my duty as an officer to protect and uphold American laws and our principles of democracy. And so I really didn't know what to do. And it took me a while to decide, to come to the decision that as an officer, as a member of the military, I have a deeper obligation a deeper sense of duty to the people of this country and to the Constitution to which I took an oath to defend. And just to say, well, I joined the military to go fight wars and obey all the orders of the president, right or wrong, I think that's wrong. And I think that's really a simplistic way of looking at things. We don't join the military to be mercenaries, earn a paycheck. We join it to defend our country, and that can come in any number of ways, not just going out there to fight wars, but to actually look at what's going on, to find out the whole truth, not just what you want to believe, or even if what is the truth is against what a lot of people believe. And it's to fight for those and sacrifice everything you have in order to ensure that we are a country of laws and a country of democracy. And so I just came to the conclusion that I could do something as a human being against what I saw was completely wrong, and also as my duty as an officer, because, like I said, you take an oath to defend the Constitution, not just to obey unlawful orders of whomever. And also, it is our duty to only obey lawful orders. And since it is my belief that this war is indeed illegal under international American law, that participating in it or obeying any order to take part in it would be unlawful as well. So that's why I've come to the decision that I've made. And my reason for going public is just to make everybody in this country aware that they have the responsibility and the duty to, if they see something is wrong, they have that responsibility as an American citizen to step up and do something about it, and not just be apathetic or just say that's just the way things are. And also to give some hope and inspiration to all Americans and even those within the military, to set an example for them that they have to look at every order they're given, including the order to go to war, and evaluate the legality and the truthfulness behind it, and to make the right decision regardless of the consequences, as I have done.
Did you consult with others while you were going through the decision-making process on this?
Nobody within the military, and certainly my commanders, who I told them of my beliefs, and I told them that I was going to refuse the orders to deploy to Iraq based on the illegality of the war and those orders. They told me what they believed and why we were going, and that really, you know, it's okay to believe what you want, but you're going to go with us anyways. That's your commitment to this country. And I respectfully disagreed. I did talk to numerous people. I talked to my parents about this, and that was definitely hard. And I've talked to numerous people with groups who are opposed to this war. A whole broad spectrum of patriotic Americans who want to see this war stop and see all American service members come back home, back to their families.
What did your parents think about your decision when you were at that point in the process?
Definitely, they said they agree with me, but like any protective family or parents, they just want to see the best for you, and they don't want to see you go to prison. And they said, you know, just do your year, finish out your commitment, and then, you know, you can quit the Army and do what you want. And then I said, you know, I see what you're saying, but I really can't do that. Just knowing what I know now and to commit a wrong anyways, because, you know, I fear imprisonment or I fear ostracism by my peers or by other members within the military, would be the cowardly thing to do. It would be the easy way out. And that's really not what we were trained to do when we joined the military. We were always trained to do the right thing regardless of the consequences. They have a saying, you know, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And also all the Army values that were instilled in me since the very first day of basic training. And that is, you know, to have the personal courage, have the integrity, the honor to do the right thing, regardless of what other people will think of you.
It seems like the Army in some ways instills some contradictions, you know, with the need to follow orders versus also the needs to uphold the Constitution.
Right. Right. And, you know, I had to go before a board because I went through officer candidate school, and I sat before four field grade officers, and they asked me some questions about why you're doing the military and my background and things like that. And they would ultimately make a recommendation, and I would go to a selection board. And one of the things I did ask them was that I said, you know, there are a lot of stereotypes about the military and the things that how they conduct themselves. And I said, what is it that makes it what we do worth, what we do good for the American people? And, you know, they pulled out their Army values card. And that was the first thing they did, and said, this is the things that we stand by. and that the Army is built upon. And I believe those today, and I believe everything that I've done and conducted myself, how I've conducted myself, is along those Army values.
So what consequences are you looking at for your decision?
Definitely prison time, anywhere from, you know, a few months to up to 2 years, possibly 5 years. The dishonorable discharge from the Army. So there would be a conviction on my permanent record, something that could possibly follow me through the rest of my life. And you know, basically, not only that, but I have to face the ostracism and the hatred of many people, not only in this country, but in the military as well.
And just from what you have experienced so far, is it what you had imagined?
Sure. I knew that the day I walked into my commander's office and put that letter of resignation on his desk and said, "This is what I believe, and I cannot take part in it, in this illegal war." I knew the worst case scenario. I knew the worst possible punishment was sitting in jail, and all the rest of the consequences. But I felt deeply that it was a necessary sacrifice on my part to make. Like I said before, when we join this country, when we join the military, and also being part of this country, we make certain sacrifices. And joining the military, we make a commitment to the people that we will sacrifice everything, our life if need be, to ensure that democratic principles and the ideals of our nation, everything that makes us American, are upheld and are protected. And that's what I'm doing today, by holding the members of our administration, the leadership, accountable for what they've done in Iraq. And because I feel like nobody has stood up, people have kind of either given up or they enable them to continue and violate American laws, and they will continue to do that as long as nobody opposes them or nobody steps up and says, no, I will not take part in it.
And were you aware of others who have chosen to either not serve in this particular conflict or not serve in previous conflicts?
Yes, I think there have been several conscientious objectors, several other people who have been allowed to leave the Army because of they believed that what we're doing in Iraq and some people who served in Afghanistan was deeply wrong. And certainly I support all those conscientious objectors. I think the Army's standards for conscientious objection are very inconsistent and unfair. That's why even a lot of people who have applied for CO status have been denied. I'm certainly not by the Army's definition a conscientious objector, because that is that you will not bear any arms or even lift a finger if someone is trying to hurt you. I made a commitment to the military and to this country to carry a rifle and defend this country, and I will still do that to this day. But I believe, as it is my duty, I cannot participate in a war that is unlawful and take part in an illegal act.
All right, and you are sitting right next to Jeff Patterson, and Jeff, you had gone through a similar, followed a similar path back in 91. Can you tell us about that?
Well, there are a lot of parallels between my case almost over 15 years ago now and Lieutenant Watada's. I was in the United States Marine Corps. I had been a Marine for 4 years. I'd been stationed mainly in Korea, the Philippines, Okinawa. I was part of a defense force in the Philippines during a aborted coup against the new government there. So I saw some killing and all this kind of thing, and I never really thought twice about it. I did my 4 years. I was packing my bags, ready to go home, and I was stop lost. And all of a sudden, I'm going to Iraq overthrow Hussein. Our mission was described as kick their butt, in different words, and take their gas. That was okay. That was sort of the Marine Corps lingo at the time. I was trained as an artilleryman, and I was eventually trained with the nuclear battlefield tactical nukes. And what sort of turned me, what changed my mind forever, was basically when my commanding officer promised me that, well, if anything went wrong over there, it would be up to me to nuke them all and basically solve the question that way. And I realized at that point there was no way I could be a part of that. I knew this was wrong. I knew we weren't going to go over there to help the Iraqi people in any way. And I knew I couldn't be a part of it. And, you know, in some situation like Lieutenant Watada, I held a press conference. I publicly refused. I publicly promised to refuse orders. A few weeks later, they took me to an airplane, told me to get on the plane, and I really didn't know what else to do, so I simply sat down on the runway of that airstrip. And the military, because of the public attention that was around my case, because of the media scrutiny, they simply left me on the runway and took me to prison at that point. I actually thought that was a great victory because I was in prison, but I wasn't participating in something that I knew was so wrong. And I was looking at five years. I went before a military trial expecting 5 years in prison. But because people organized where I was at, they held protests in front of the base. They wrote tons of letters. They helped me, you know, put forward a solid legal team. And they just made the military miserable in such a case that they actually discharged me instead of putting me in prison. So, you know, we heard Lieutenant Watadas talk about what he's doing, but it's not just him as an individual. It's sort of, he's throwing down a challenge to all of us to actually seize on this opportunity to be part of stopping this war once and for all. And now, you know, there's no better place than here in the Pacific Northwest to mobilize a broad base of support and be part of, like, national protests that are coming up in June 27th of this month in support of him. And then leading up to what we want to see is a regional massive mobilization around any court-martial around Fort Lewis to actually put forward Lieutenant Watada as somebody who's actually doing the right thing. And again, it's sort of a challenge for all of us to step up. And, you know, Lieutenant Watada is putting his life and his career on the line. What are we going to put on the line to help stop this war?
Well, the U.S. military has never been known for being overly progressive and changing its policies. Do you hope for that as one of the long-term goals is perhaps eventually creating a climate where soldiers can come out and publicly oppose policies that they see as illegal?
I think if they don't allow members of the military to follow their conscience and to do the right thing as we are trained to do, you will see, and as this becomes more public, you will see the military will see a drop in enlistment, in first-time enlistments, because people out there, young people joining, will see this and they'll say, well, I have my conscience and I should be able to freely do the right thing, but here is this example where this person is trying to do the conscionable thing. And yet the military is saying, we don't really care, you're going to go anyways. And you made a commitment to us, even though we don't have to honor our side of the commitment, by having our leadership be truthful to you and tell you exactly why you're going to go to war. People are going to see that, especially young people, the ones the military is trying to focus on recruiting. And they're going to say, no, that I will not be join something while I will be forced to participate in something that is against my conscience and that I will be deceived into why I am participating in it.
Well, you know, Aaron's going to be an example for one thing or the other. It's in the best interest for the military to prosecute him to the fullest extent of their law. And that's one side of the coin. To show him as an example of what will go wrong if you actually have the courage to speak out. On the other side of the coin also is it's also in the military's best interest possibly to simply accept his resignation and discharge him. And it's sort of up to the people how we respond, which of those two options the military will take. If we're out there in front of Fort Lewis causing a ruckus, if we're protesting, if we're calling our senator, if we're writing letters, we want to publish a petition on behalf of Lieutenant Watada in the Seattle Times, in the PI, you know, in USA Today, to actually make a different kind of example and convince the military it's actually in their best interest to simply discharge him, to not have to go through all that. And that's what happened in my case, and I think there's a possibility of that happening in this case as well. And we've been traveling and talking to people from Seattle to Portland and Tacoma and Olympia, and we think that there is the basis for like an unprecedented mobilization now to actually support troops who refuse to fight, but in a broader sense to be a key part of stopping this war.
What's your response to the critics that say what you have chosen to do is treasonous?
there's been certainly a lot of people who have said, well, what about your troops? What about the guys you train that you're going to be leaving behind? And it was a very difficult decision when taking that into mind. You know, you train with these guys for a year. They're practically, you know, you live with them. They're practically brothers to you. And you have to, you've come to a decision you've made, and you have to turn your back on them. And it's definitely, I think, a hard thing for anybody to do. But I came to the conclusion that every service member who has died since this war has started has touched me personally. I feel, as a leader of the armed forces, as an officer in the armed forces, that I am in some way responsible for those deaths, each and every one of them, all the 2,500 plus, and all those who have been wounded, because I did not find out sooner what the truth was, and I did not step up sooner and oppose our administration and oppose this leadership who continues to violate American law and sacrifice American servicemen. And I feel as if we are being sacrificed for nothing. And the best way I can support and serve my troops is not to go over there and just stay in my lane and be, you know, do my own small little thing in country. The best thing I can do is impact all these and serve these soldiers in a bigger way by speaking out and opposing what I believe is an illegal and immoral war, and hold the leaders who have started this whole thing accountable for what they've done, because nobody has to this date. And also really to set the example and tell people in the military why we actually joined. And that was to only follow lawful orders, and to really, you do have a choice, and you do have to evaluate which orders are lawful and which are not unlawful. Because if you don't, really the danger is what we've seen in Abu Ghraib and Haditha, is where soldiers or members of the military cannot distinguish between right and wrong, because they assume that when you join the military, it doesn't matter what you believe, you do it anyway, and you obey all orders regardless. And so, like I said, the best way I can support these soldiers is to end this war, to help oppose it, and hold our leaders accountable and set the example for doing the right thing.
There are some people that would say it's a very dangerous path if we have our soldiers making decisions on the fly. You know, if they get to the point where they're not following all orders, then you'll have utter chaos on the battlefield. What would be your response to that?
I don't believe that's true at all. You definitely, if you're in the heat of battle, sergeant officer tells you to go there, you do it. You really have no time to think about it. It's all reaction, and that's why we train so hard. It's basically all reaction. And the thing about the military, it has changed a little bit from the past, in that as non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers, we realize that when we're in training, when we have the time to do it, you explain to your soldiers why you're telling them to do a certain thing. If you don't, and you establish an attitude of superiority or tyranny, and you just tell people to do it no matter what, there's a lot of soldiers who will resist that. And unless you explain why, unless you can justify in their minds why you're going to be telling them in an actual battle to do certain things. And I think that's the same with this war. I've been given the chance a year before I've been given the order to deploy to evaluate what is really going on in Iraq and things we're doing now and what led us there. And everything from the point where that decision was made to send us there has been illegal, unlawful, and against everything that we believe in as a democratic society. So, like I would say, in the heat of battle, no, you don't have that. You can't just stand up and say, well, I don't think that's illegal or not. But given the time, given the opportunity, and certainly there are things that are definitely wrong. You know, if they tell you to go and kill civilians or go and torture detainees, you're certainly given a limited amount of time to think about that, but we know those to be wrong. And we also know that to start a war of aggression, not based out of necessity, is also definitely wrong. I think they've proved that after World War II during the Nuremberg trials, and also the American government back then had signed on to that international treaty, and it has thus become, by virtue of the Constitution, American law. So, again, any war that is started not out of imminent self-defense, meaning, you know, there's invaders on our borders ready to come in and destroy the homeland, any war that's not in that case is illegal under international and American law.
What has been the reaction of the people you served with to your decision?
Basically, I think a lot of people were shocked on the first day that I made my public statement. Since then, there were a lot of people who wrote hate emails, and there was a lot of hostility, not directed towards me face-to-face, but definitely indirectly through the people I work with, people telling them what they think about me. But, you know, surprisingly, the day that I came out, there were people who came up and shook my hand. There was a sergeant who came up and said, "I saw you on TV and I agree with what you're saying. I believe it. And just keep your head up." And I have received numerous emails from members of the military, mostly soldiers, all over the country, even overseas, who thank me for what I'm doing and say, yes, what we're doing is wrong. And it is time for us to step up, do something.
So where do you go from here?
Basically, I'm going to continue to try to get the word out and encourage all Americans that we need to take action, that there's no such thing as apathy or ignorance. We need to become aware. Is this war really legal or is it not? And if it's not, we cannot, as a nation, force our members of the military to participate in it. And really, we just need to, as a nation, hold our leaders accountable for violating the laws.
And, Jeff, where do you see things as going from here?
Well, I think all of us should be challenged by Lieutenant Watada's stand, that we, you know, he's putting his life, his career on the line, and we have to actually step up to have his back, to support him. We have a fantastic nationwide committee have come together to support him, from helping him do the initial press conference last Wednesday in Tacoma, through whatever legal needs he's going to have. We're looking at tens of thousands of dollars in expenses for a first-rate legal team, flying international law experts here to Fort Lewis to actually try to put the war on trial. We have no illusions that the military is going to, you know, give us an open forum in this court-martial. But Lieutenant Watada is actually saying something that everybody kind of sees as obvious, sort of the pink elephant in the room. The war is illegal. Everybody sort of knows that now. Everybody knows Bush lied. But unless we actually do something, then they simply get away with it. And we want to, you know, force that forum with international law experts, with a first-rate legal defense, and coupled with massive public mobilization in support of him. We've set up a website where we're taking donations to help him pay for his legal fund. We don't want his family to have to go into debt for his courageous stand. Thankyoult.org. You can go there to find out, you know, how to get involved, how to get mobilized, be part of this movement to not only help him, but to actually stop the war.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for spending time with us today. We have just been talking with Lieutenant Aaron Watada and Jeff Patterson. And again, you can find out more about his case at thankyoult.org.